Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you this morning. It's great to see you. And you brought the sunshine in because it wasn't there. What's that?
You have a bug on you.
I have a bug on me. Well, he's...
I don't need too much.
Well, at least he thinks I'm sweet. The announcements are in your bulletin. But are there some that you would like to highlight? I know there's a soup supper coming up, and soup and pie lunch. Oh, that's lunch, not supper. Anybody want to make announcements?
Yeah, one other announcement for the congregation. We are having our council meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. If anybody would like to attend as a visitor.
Okay. Well, if there are no announcements, then let's begin our worship with the confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins and whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We're truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts. Amen. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Deep sleep to fall upon the man. And as he slept, He took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the Lord said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say Psalm 8, responsible for this. It is printed in your book. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children. You have set up a fortress against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have set in their courses.
What are your mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them?
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rulers of the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Today's second reading comes to the first chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the first verse. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom we appointed heir of all things, through which he also created the worlds. He is a reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited as more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he may test death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will pray to you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Something a little different for the gospel. I'm going to invite the children to come up and sit in the front pew. And I'm going to skip the first portion of the gospel today. That deals, why don't you sit on the pew, and then we can do something together, okay?
All right.
The first portion of that gospel deals with divorce. That's an important subject, but for today, if you notice the cover of our bulletin, or some of the bulletins anyway, has something to do with children, and therefore I'm going to start the gospel today with in the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 13th verse, where Mark tells us that people were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. You know what that means? They were ticked off. They were saying, kids, get out of here. We don't want you here. You're noisy. You're restless. You don't sit there quiet like everybody else. We don't want you here. But Jesus said to them, send the little children to me, because of such are the kingdom of God. And Jesus was very angry with the disciples, because they were sending the children away, and he wanted them. And he said to the adults who were there, he said, you know, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. That's the good news. And then Jesus after that said, Mark says that Jesus went to the children and he held them and he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. And that was the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today, you may be seated. Today, I'm going to teach you a new song. Would you like to sing a new song? Okay, we'll let them help us, okay? Would you hold these for me? Hold this for me? Could you do that? I can't see that far. Why don't you stand up beside me? There you go. All right. I'll sing a phrase, and then you sing the same thing. We'll just keep repeating each other, okay?
My friend is good for me. My friend is good for me. I like him and he likes me. I like him and he likes me.
Okay, that's the refrain, and we'll do that several times. Do you have any friends? Do you? Do you have friends? How many friends have you got? Five friends? You've never counted? Wow.
I counted my friends.
Did you count five of them? Fantastic. Well, today is all about being a friend to friends. Jesus wants us to be friends, right? So, let's do... I'm going to have to get down here. Yeah, thank you.
A friend can be short or tall.
A friend can be short or tall.
A friend can be just anyone at all.
A friend can be just anyone at all.
My friend is good for me. I like him and he likes me. Together we laugh and dance around.
Together we laugh and
we tickle our toes in the soft green ground.
Tickle our toes in the soft green ground.
My friend, my
Fantastic. Well, today, I'll give you a choice. You can either go back and sit with Mom, or you can stay right there. Decisions. Because today, I'm going to talk about my very best friend. Okay? In some ways, this is a difficult sermon in that when I talk about my friend, I sometimes get a little emotional. He was a member of the, or not a member, he was a friend of the family before I was even born. I was told that he came to my baptism and even held me for my baptism. And throughout my life, he seemed to be one who was there. I remember the first time I went fishing with him and caught a sunfish, one of those little bitty things. You know, they aren't worth much of anything. And I was kind of disappointed, but he danced a jig. He was just as happy as could be. And then when my favorite grandmother passed away, she was, we lived 2.25 miles from where she lived. And so I often stayed with her. And when she died, I was just plain devastated. And he came and he sat with me and he held me. And while I was crying, and he reminded me that Grandma would actually have a better place in heaven. And that one day I would get to meet her again there. And it really made me feel a whole lot better. My friend was the kind of person you could confide in. I could share absolutely anything. Things I couldn't share with my parents. Things I didn't even share with my wife for many years. My friend was the kind of person who kept those confidences and was such a loving part of my life. I confirmed my faith when I was 13 years old, and he came to my confirmation and even laid his hands on top of the pastor's hands when I was confirmed. And, you know, it was one of those incredible times when, now, I don't know, this church has a Danish background, right? Were these the happy Danes or the sad Danes? The happy Danes. Fantastic. Fantastic. My church, well, was German in background. And I would say I would put them in the sad German category. Because you were not supposed to crack a smile at certain times. Like when you were confirmed, that was serious business. And when you took communion, serious business. And I was so happy when I was confirmed. I could hardly hold that smile back. And then I looked up and saw his face. And he was grinning from ear to ear and gave me a wink, and I lost it. I didn't laugh out loud, but I was not in favor of some of the little ladies in the church. I can tell you that. Shortly after that event, I went to the only church camp that I got to go to as a child. Now, it was a difficult situation because my little youngest sister, I had a younger sister born 2 days before I left for camp. Didn't get to see her because back in those days, you know, the hospitals wouldn't let kids in. And I went off to camp. I had stayed with relatives all my younger life. But, you know, when you go away and you don't know anybody, I was really devastated, lonely, and I was, you know, big boys don't cry. I wanted to cry. I really did. And then that evening, they had a campfire. And there was a lake, and across the lake there was a men's choir, chorus, a quartet, that sang the old rugged cross as a cross was floated across the lake, surrounded by candles, and lit by those candles. And, you know, it gives me goosebumps just remembering that. But I was so alone. And the pastor, Pastor Tex, I remember him because he had such a powerful sermon that made me think, you know, maybe I should become a pastor. That was the beginning of that. It was time to go back into the cabin, and I really just wanted to stay out there, but I couldn't. And my friend came and sat with me. Amazing. Came and sat with me, put his arm around me and said, "You're not alone. I'm with you." Yeah, sometimes it breaks me up thinking about it. But I got through all of that. And then the next event I want to tell you about is my marriage. Sue and I celebrated our 50th anniversary June 3rd this year. And back 4 years before that, my best friend introduced us, something for which I was eternally grateful. And when we found out at the last minute that Sue's father could not come to our wedding, when I looked up to see my bride coming down the aisle on his arm, even now, it breaks me up. It was a powerful moment to know that he cared enough to be there for us at that time. Now, many of you may think that I was a genius in my school days and that I whizzed right through seminary. I want to break that illusion right now because my first semester in seminary, I almost flunked out. It was such a change. We had a friend who had a member of one of our churches who had been a doctor and decided to go to seminary. And I talked to him after he had been ordained. And I said, "Well, how was it compared to your medical training?" He said, "Seminary training was 10 times harder." But he said, "Medicine, you know, everything is pretty exact. You know what you're doing, sort of." At least they thought they did. Not so sure all the time, but you know how that goes. But my friend actually came to seminary and visited with me and helped me see what was really important to study. I was trying to cover absolutely everything. On the first day of seminary, of each class, the professor gives you this 2, maybe 3-page, single space, small print list of all the books that you're supposed to read. And that's each professor. And they highlight those that, well, you really should read these. And I was so overwhelmed, I didn't know where to even begin. My friend helped me with that. Another event that I have to share is that after we had been married for a while, we discovered that we were not going to be able to have children. And that was a heartbreaker. But our friend came and sat with us, prayed with us, and encouraged us to go to adoption. Because he said, "You know, there's some child out there who really needs you." Well, we hadn't thought of that. And so, in the end, we ended up adopting 2 children. And it was a fantastic experience for us. Challenging. It was one of those times where my wife said she prayed for patience after the first one. And when the second one came, she stopped praying for patience. Because he really required it. There was a period of time when I went through a period in my ministry where I approached burnout. I was in a congregation where we had, when I started there as a senior pastor, we had 700 and some members. And by the time we left, we had increased that from 700 to over 1,200. It was one of those rapid growth periods where I was going night and day. I had a part-time assistant, a part-time secretary, and a part-time janitor, And somebody on the church council has said, well, you wouldn't need all that help if you just organize your time better. That's what I see. Burnout reached that epic proportion. And one of our doctors said, you know, I really want a spiritual counselor in my practice. Would you consider joining us? Jumped at it. Thought, fantastic. So for a couple of years, I did spiritual counseling in his practice. And then, during that period of time, you know how something doesn't fit? It doesn't, it's not right? I was really feeling like that burnout period. And my friend came to visit us. And he said, you know, there's an old story. Some of you may have heard the story. It's about a man who was suffering from neck pain, from severe headaches, and from a dizziness. And he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, this looks serious, but I have to run a bunch of tests. You're going to have to go into the hospital for that. And so he tried to get into the hospital, but the hospital for those tests was full. They couldn't take him for another week. In the meantime, he was so miserable from this condition that he decided he didn't have any decent clothes to be buried in. That sounds funny to us, but he wanted, you know, to look nice in the casket. So he went to a men's shop and he ordered the clothes. And as the salesman was measuring his neck, he said, you need a size 16. And he said, no, I don't need a size 16. I've always worn a size 14, and I'm not going to change now. Well, the salesman said, you know, I'll sell you the 14, but I can promise you this. You're going to have a sore neck, severe headaches, and occasional dizziness. And my friend said, Larry, maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're trying to do something you weren't intended to do. You know, this could happen. It's a story for every member of every church, every congregation, too. And sometimes we try to do things the way we've always done them, and something doesn't work, and then we say, well, we've still got to stick with it. Sometimes I know that for me, I had to think seriously about going back into the parish ministry, which thankfully I did, or I wouldn't be in front of you today. My friend was also there for us when we found out that we were pregnant. Two adopted children, 5 years later, and all at once we found out Sue was pregnant. All the way home from the doctor's, of course, we laughed. You know the story about Sarah laughing when she found out she was pregnant? That was us. Unfortunately, a couple of months later, we found out it was not going to be. And my friend came and wrapped us and our two children in his arms and held us and wept with us over our loss. That's the kind of friend who has been with us every place we've gone. He has visited every church that I have served. In fact, did you know that he's been here? In fact, he's here today. My best friend, Jesus, has never left us and never wants to leave you either. You are not alone. He is with you, and he promises, oh, I will be with you always. I forgot to tell you that he had died several years before, 2,000 years before, that when he died a painful death. Not just for me, but for you too. that he rose from the dead to guarantee that you and I will have eternal life also. That's my best friend. And I hope that you will allow him to be your best friend. Because every time you hear his word read, every time you pick up the scriptures, every time you sing one of those songs, you are hearing his voice. Maybe sounds a little more like an alto or a soprano or a bass or a tenor. I don't know what the voice sounds like. Scott spoke the voice of Jesus today for us too. He's there. He's not out there somewhere. He's here. And when he says to you, maybe through me or one of the others who are helping with communion, this is my body. I'm giving it to you. This is my blood. I shed it for you. He's really there. And he wants to live inside of you. When you come to communion today, my prayer for you would be that you would open up your heart and say, come, Lord Jesus. Live in me. One of our friends wrote a song years ago that really tells that same story. You may know it, and I'd be surprised if you don't. It's 732 in the ELW. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. May Christ be within us. May Christ live, because he has given us himself. Amen. Professor Arpaink, using the creed which you have printed in your bulletin.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Holy God, send your blessings out into the world through missionaries, evangelists, and servants of your church. Through them, spread good news to all who need it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for the animals of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all the works of your hands. Let our care for all you have made reflect your desire for the health of all creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Rule the nations of this world with the same grace you employ to align planets, stars, and moons. Where there is disorder, move us toward righteousness and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Deliver your care to your children who feel unworthy of care. Bend down low to lift up people who struggle to find others who will embrace them in time of need. We pray especially for those we may know. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Bring reconciliation among this community. Heal relationships that are broken. When we face division, open our eyes to signs of new life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Welcoming God, thank you for this congregation where we have found a home. Make us restless as we seek new and creative ways to expand our loving invitation to all people who seek a community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Along with all the saints, form us into a holy and loving community in which people can find abundant compassion and peace. Through us, bring others into your unbreakable covenant. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Thank you.
things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choir of angels and with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance,
with this bread of life and cup of salvation,
you have united
us with Christ,
making us one with all your people.
Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit,
that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
devotions. If you'd like one, there are more copies here and in the other room. And if you didn't get a prayer card, please pick one up for everybody in your family so you can pray constantly for St. Luke's.
The devotional book is great.
Is this your life story?
Just about.